This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Right now, get the lowest price at EdenPure.com with code word GRACE. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show, TGIF. We did it. It's been a very long week in the news, but we survived. We are here. And after reading some of the headlines from today, and this always seems to happen, Jared, I'm like very excited to go home tonight and pour myself a stiff drink because it's just brutal. The hypocrisy is astounding. And I have to say, every day I wake up and I think the media is not going to let me down any more than they already have. They've hit rock bottom. There's no way they can go any further. I mean, you think about, all right, so 60 Minutes edits the Ron DeSantis video. The press vilifies Brett Kavanaugh. That was a real low for them at one point. They propped up Michael Avenatti. He was going to be our president. There's been a lot of points where I thought, this is it. This is the bottom of the barrel. And then someone like Glenn Kessler comes along. And I go, maybe there's more. Maybe we haven't reached the bottom yet. If you guys missed this story, I'm going to break it down for you right now. Glenn Kessler is the fact checker from the Washington Post, which right there doesn't seem to make any sense. There's a lot of fact checkers right now who are, they've gotten a little bit of a break since Trump left. They've all seemed to go on vacation. We have Daniel Dale from CNN, Glenn Kessler from the Washington Post, and he decides, rather than fact check some of the nonsense that comes out of Joe Biden's mouth every single day, which, by the way, I just want to point out, one of my favorite Glenn Kessler moments, just to set the scene for everybody, was Joe Biden was talking to Anderson Cooper. This was after he was elected president. And he was doing a town hall. And he actually said that when he got into the White House, there were not vaccines. And it's a blatant lie. I'm not saying it was an intentional lie, but it was a lie. And as a fact checker, that's an easy fact to check. And so Joe Biden says that there were no doses available when he took office. And naturally, Republicans like Kayleigh McEnany and other people from the Trump administration who have yet to get any credit, period, started tweeting about it and said, wait a second, this is a blatant lie. And Glenn Kessler, this is one job. Whose one job is to fact check, says it was a verbal stumble, a typical Biden gaffe, as he has already mentioned 50 million doses being available when he took office. Ex-Trump officials should especially cool the outrage meter, as it just looks silly. And I remember seeing that and going, okay, so he's admitting now that this is all just complete BS, because otherwise you take the loss and you fact check it. Well, he doesn't want to fact check things like that. What he does want to fact check is Tim Scott's ancestry. Now, if you guys don't know Tim Scott, the senator, he had a really great line when he was, I believe it was at the RNC. And he's a big supporter of Trump. And he talked about how his family went from cotton to Congress in one generation. And I remember this because I was watching the RNC and I got chills. It was that good of a speech. And it was the speech was really all about hope and the American dream and how, you know, there's so many opportunities in this country. And someone like Tim Scott and his family were able to make a wonderful life out of those opportunities. I see that and I go, wow, that's a really incredible story. Glenn Kessler sees that and he goes, something's not right here. I need to put on my detective hat and start investigating this. This needs to be fact checked. So Glenn Kessler writes a story. Actually, let's first play Tim Scott's original line. This is cut 18.
He suffered the indignity of being forced out of school as a third grader to pick cotton, and he never learned to read or write. Yet, he lived long enough to see his grandson become the first African-American to be elected to both the United States House and the United States Senate in the history of this country. Our family went from cotton to Congress in one lifetime.
Now, a real fact check would be if this was a total lie, you could argue that. You know, you could say, actually, none of that ever happened. But Glenn Kessler looked into this. Really, and this is what I always tell people. I saw somebody one time point out that when the liberal journalists slash activists want to, they can be Bob Woodward. You know, they have no interest in the big stories, but if something strikes their fancy, like if Ted Cruz goes to Cancun and leaves his dog at home, they get on that beat, they show up at his house, they start looking into it. What kind of breed is the dog? How many bowls of water did they leave out for him? They really have journalistic curiosity when it suits them. This is a perfect example. Glenn Kessler really did his research on this, and this is what he came up with at the end of the article. First of all, you got to hear the headline of it. Tim Scott often talks about his grandfather and cotton. There's more to that tale. The implication is that he's lying, that there's something nefarious here, that, you know, it might be all made up. Well, actually, at the end of this, he does his Pinocchio test. Scott's cotton to Congress line is missing some nuance, but we are not going to rate his statements. To some extent, Scott may be relying on the memories of his grandfather, not a detailed examination of records. Scott tells a tidy story packaged for political consumption, but a close look shows how some of his family's early and improbable success gets flattened and written out of his biography. The part of this that Glenn Kessler finds to be lacking nuance is that Tim Scott's grandfather, when he dropped out of school to pick cotton, was picking cotton on a farm that the family owned. And that is where he thinks this is worth writing a story in the Washington Post about. I cannot even explain how disgusting this kind of headline is. This is a black, successful senator in America with an incredible story that, regardless of your politics, you should be able to look at and go, wow, that's admirable. And his decision to write this says so much more about Glenn Kessler and the left than it does about Tim Scott. And I have
racism, racism.
This is racism. Everyone talks about racism all the time. I'm bombarded with emails from everyone from Banana Republic to Chipotle about racism. Red flag. It's happening. This is it. Do you guys see it? I have to read you some tweets, though, because I called Howie today and I said, I know. I read tweets a lot. I know that. But I got to make an exception today. And he said, go ahead, Grace. Do whatever you want. Stop calling me. So this is some of my favorites. Glenn Kessler trying to white-splain that actually Tim Scott's ancestors had it pretty good is one of the most profoundly stupid things on this website today. This WAPO hit piece on Tim Scott wants you to know that even though it's true that his grandfather had to leave school to pick cotton, his great-great-grandfather owned 900 acres in South Carolina. Actually, Tim Scott's grandfather left school to pick cotton, but it was for a family farm that was larger than most, making the backbreaking work much easier than, say, using white privilege to sit at a keyboard and attack a black man and his family for daring to have success. Systemic racism is real now, but not real in 1960s South Carolina. And then my favorite one of all has to be, why doesn't Tim Scott talk about how good his black Southern ancestors in the 1800s had it? The Washington Post wonders aloud. More to the tale, because that's in the headline. More to the tale apparently means that what Tim Scott says about his grandfather is accurate. But since his family owns some land, the Washington Post isn't sure if he really suffered enough for it to count in the oppression Olympics. We're not going to rate his comments because nuance. If you find yourself telling the grandson of a Depression-era black man who spent his youth picking cotton to check his privilege, please, for the love of holy God, log off your computer. That black Republican from the Jim Crow South had it easy, but pulling out your driver's license to vote is oppression.
Jim Eagle.
It's stunning. It really is. And I have a lot more to get to today. I had to get that Glenn Kessler. Sometimes you see a story and it just burns in your brain. And you're like, where are we at? Is he even going to? But I want to say this. I was looking at the story that he posted and it got about 85 thumbs up or likes, whatever you want to call it. And it got 1,600 replies. And that's called being ratioed. If enough people reply to it in disgust rather than give it a thumbs up. And ratios restore my faith in humanity. Because I think, okay, I'm not the only person who thinks this is gross. And everybody else thought so too. So we got that going for us.
Hey, Glenn, as long as we're fact-checking family farms, can we check the vice president's plantation in Jamaica? Maybe do an in-depth dive on that?
Let's have a little accountability here. You're going after a black guy who told a real story, a true story, and I don't even understand what the point is, besides to let us all know you're racist, which, you know what? I had an idea that you were, Glenn, but I'm glad it's confirmed. Confirmation is key. All right, guys, when we get back, I'll take some of your calls on this. We'll be talking all day. I'll have the phone lines open. I also have Paris Denard coming on in the 1 o'clock hour, which I'm very excited about. So do not go anywhere. 844-500-4242. Since I was in my early 20s, I've struggled with acid reflux. What can I say? I love coffee. I love salsa. I love chocolate. Anything that triggers acid reflux. I love white wine. I'm in. But I've always tried to avoid it. And I've always tried to find products that help with acid reflux or heartburn, but they're very hard to find. And a lot of them don't work long term. That was until I found Balance 7. It's your one-stop shopping to help increase your energy levels, aid in digestion.
I'm kind of the Grinch.
Heartburn, and so much more. I'm kind of the Grinch, too. Check out Balance7.com and learn why balancing your body is so important for the performance of your immune system. Simply drink a total of 3 ounces a day, and within 72 hours, most people begin to have more energy, greater clarity of thought, and just feel healthier overall. Order your one-month supply at Balance7.com. Use code word GRACEFREE to save $10 off your first order and get free shipping. And if you're one of the first 50, you'll also get Smooth Skin, which is an exfoliant. You'll have that. It's valued at $13.99. You will get it for free. If you struggle with acid reflux or heartburn, or you just want to feel a little boost of energy and feel a little bit better, make sure you try Balance 7. Order now and receive $10 off your first order of a 30-day supply. Get free shipping and a chance to receive Smooth Skin Conditioner at no charge, all by using my code word, GRACEFREE. That's GRACEFREE. We'll be back on the other side. Phone lines are open today. 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It's Friday, and you know what that means. It's Aviva Trattoria Friday here at the Grace Curley Show. We love Aviva Trattoria. They sponsor our studio, but they also bring in a delicious bread for us every other week. I'm here with Marcy right now. My first question has to be, what did you bring in for us today, Marcy?
Good afternoon, Grace.
Good afternoon.
Today, we have all kinds of amazing stuff. We have a cauliflower skillet.
Ooh.
We have veal marsala.
Ooh.
We have the honey chicken barbecue wrap.
Yum.
We have a pesto chicken salad, an eggplant club, and my favorite, the short rib entree.
Awesome. And I saw you have some cannolis, too, which I love.
Cannolis and tiramisu, your favorite.
Exactly. All right. But Marcy, you have some important events coming up that people can get involved with. Tell us a little bit about it.
So, you know, we are so excited to announce we're going to start doing contests, monthly contests to get people, you know, to really see what Aviva's all about. So our first one, anytime you come to any Aviva from now until May 12th and you use your loyalty account, you'll be entered to win an Italian cooking class of your choice for four with our very own chef, Anthony De Palma.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So all people have to do is use their loyalty
account?
That's
it. All they need to do is use their loyalty account. They can simply sign up at avivatrattoria.com. They can sign up right there, and all they have to do is use their phone number when they come in.
All right, perfect. I love that. And Marcy, where can people go to your website if they want to check out more?
Please go to Eviva, E-V-V-I-V-A, Trattoria.com.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much, Marcy.
Thanks, Grace.
Of course. All right, so we have a lot of stuff to get to right now, a lot of sound, but I want to keep going here with this Tim Scott thing because I find it very interesting that the go-to for the left is you are racist if you disagree, and yet here we have a black senator with an incredible background who's being told that his story, it lacks nuance because it doesn't help the left-wing narrative. It's pretty amazing. Jared, I want to play, let's play the cut again, the original cut of Tim Scott talking about going from cotton to Congress in one generation.
He suffered the indignity of being forced out of school as a third grader to pick cotton, and he never learned to read or write. Yet, he lived long enough to see his grandson become the first African-American to be elected to both the United States House and the United States Senate in the history of this country. Our family went from cotton to Congress in one lifetime.
And the part of this I find really amazing is that Tim Scott's speech, the reason that Glenn Kessler has such a problem with it, it's not because of his great-great-grandfather owned land or anything like that, but it's because Tim Scott is giving America a different idea than what we've been fed for the last few decades. He's telling people that you can achieve whatever you want to achieve. The sky is the limit. It's the American dream. I talk about that all the time on this show. I've witnessed the American dream. You know, I have family members who grew up with nothing, who created a lot of success for themselves and for their families. And there seems to be this real, real dislike from liberals about that entire concept. They like to make people think that your only options are either to be the oppressor, in which you have to feel guilt your entire life, and you're never not going to be racist, you're never not going to be guilty of being a white supremacist, or you're the oppressed. And Tim Scott is breaking through that narrative. He's saying, no. You can be something else. You can be successful. You can be an American and you can do whatever you want to do. And that is why they don't like it. And that's the same reason why there's stories like this. White House mulling grants for critical race theory in classrooms. A new rule proposed by the U.S. Education Department says financial grants could encourage schools to incorporate teaching and learning practices that reflect the diversity, identities, histories, contributions, and experiences of all students. The plan cites as an example the New York Times Magazine's controversial 1619 Project and also the best-selling book How to Be an Anti-Racist. The learning practices contribute to what has been called an identity-safe learning environment where teachers strive to assure students that their social identities are an asset rather than a barrier to success. If you've been paying attention at all to critical race theory, what it's really about, and Trump's White House budget director, Russ Vought, put it really well. He said, at the classroom level, it will only ensure that the next generation is filled with corrosive and demeaning ideas that they should be judged by the color of their skin instead of the content of their character. And that's exactly what it is. You read these stories, and a lot of times it's these private schools. They're so expensive. I've seen it. They're so expensive, and the parents get these kids who come back and tell them, oh, by the way, mom, I was told today that I'm an oppressor. And they go, huh? What am I paying for? But it keeps happening. And a lot of Republicans are starting to get fed up with this critical race theory, and they're not going to stop talking about it. Guys, we'll be back on the other side. We'll take some of your calls, 844-500-4242. Thank you, Marcy from Aviva Trattoria. We'll be right back. It's The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in on this beautiful Friday here in New England. We have so much to get to in so little time. I want to play a cut here from Jen Psaki. Now, this is not from a White House press briefing. She's back to making her Twitter videos where she answers the questions, the burning questions from the public. And they're not fake at all, Jared. They're not from robots. They're real questions from real people. And listen to this cut of Jen Psaki when she's asked about the number of green jobs that will be created. This is cut 10.
Hi, it's Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary. You sent me some of your questions on Instagram and Snapchat, and I'm here to answer some of them. How many green jobs will be created? The way the president sees green jobs and job creation is that it's all intertwined. Addressing our climate crisis and making sure we're putting people back to work is something we can do together. So the American Jobs Plan is a great example of this. We're going to take steps to modernize our infrastructure so that it's more climate resilient and so that we're creating more climate-friendly jobs.
I think the question was how many, which implies you're going to give a number at some point. Talk about droning on and on for a simple question.
This administration, can anybody in this administration give a number? Fauci can't give a number. Psaki can't give a number. The only guy who can give numbers in this administration is the guy who can't even count anymore. Like, could you just give us the number when somebody asks? That's to be like, hey, great. You know, you're asking me, Jared, what time do we go to break? Well, we view a break as blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, just give me the time.
Yeah, I'd like to redirect the witness to answer the question. No, you're absolutely right. And not only can Joe Biden not count, but the guy, you know, he loves numbers. I was just talking to my VIPs about this. Like, when I first started the show, I would really try to have all these stats and whatever. And then I started to realize, I'm not Ben Shapiro. I'm just gonna go with common sense. I'm just going to say how I feel. But I don't have this knowledge of percentages and numbers. And I find that very easy to get lost and mixed up. Joe Biden, if I feel that way, I'm 28 years old and relatively with it. Joe Biden gets to a podium and they're like, hey, just keep your mask on. Look alert and say America is racist and then walk off. Don't take any questions. And he gets out there and he's like, there's 400 billion million. And I'm sure his aides are like, sweet Lord, what is he doing? He's addicted to the numbers. But yeah, Jen Psaki can't give an answer on that. And what it made me think of, Jared, is she refuses. This White House it's really taking me back. It's really a throwback to the Obama years where we were all so consumed with words, you know? Don't worry about fighting ISIS. Let's worry about what we're going to call it. And let's call it ISIL because we want to leave Syria out of it. So don't label it ISIS. Let's focus on the semantics of it. And we are right back. People wanted a return to normalcy. Well, you got it. We're here. And it's so normal, it hurts. It's so normal, it makes me want to cry every single morning when I wake up. And the perfect example is the word crisis. Because there is a crisis at the border. I'm going to repeat that. There is a crisis at the border. And Jen Psaki has really put herself into a pretzel about not wanting to say that there's a crisis at the border. She refuses to say it. She will not label it like that. And by not just acknowledging it, it's like anything else in life. The first step is admitting there's a problem. You know, that's the first step to recovery is you gotta say there's a problem. If you can't say, if you can't name your enemy, or I'm thinking of ISIS in that case, or if you can't acknowledge the problem, which is the influx of migrants on the southern border, if you can't establish where we are or what we're fighting or what we're dealing with, you're not going to be able to fix the solution. You're not going to be able to fix the problem and find a solution because you can't even address the reality of what's happening. So Jen Psaki does not want to call this a crisis. She's made that abundantly clear. In fact, by talking about how much it's not a crisis, it's like anything else. You start to go, thou doth protest too much. Why? When you're hanging out with a friend and they just went through a breakup and they're so over the top about how okay they are, I'm actually fine. Like, I actually think I'm doing better now. I actually think, you know what? I'm happy. I'm happy that the relationship ended. And then, you know, an hour later, they're crying into their mimosa. And you start going, maybe not. That's how I feel about this crisis. Them telling me it's not a crisis makes me go, but is it? You know, why are you all so insistent that everything's fine? It's like that meme of the cartoon character when everything's burning around him. And he says, this is fine. Everything's fine. And now it's not just Jen Psaki. So she's gone out and said it's not a crisis. Joe Biden has accidentally called it a crisis and then had to say he didn't mean it. And she says, oh, he misspoke. You know, we've come to expect that. But now Politico is getting on board. There's been a leaked memo from Politico where Politico forbids crisis when describing border surge, despite Biden's own use. This is from the Washington Examiner. Don't call it a crisis. Politico is the latest news outlet to order its staff not to use the word crisis when reporting on the massive influx of illegal immigrants at the southern border, according to an internal memo obtained by the Washington Examiner. Now, this is the quote. I'm going to read it in like a Jen Psaki type voice. Avoid referring to the present situation as a crisis. Although we may quote others using that language while providing context, while the sharp increase in the arrival of unaccompanied minors is a problem for border officials, a political challenge for the Biden administration, and a dire situation for many migrants who make the journey, it does not fit the dictionary definition of a crisis. If using the word crisis, we need to ask of what and to whom. Now, here are some things that Politico has no problem describing as crisis.
I'm at a crisis of journalism?
Empty retail space. They've described that as a crisis. Threats to the Supreme Court's legitimacy. That was a big crisis. Widespread wage cuts was a crisis. The condition of rural America. The decline in the size and morale of the Capitol Police. Climate change. The drug epidemic. The position of the Spanish monarchy. The state of childcare. It's not only all infrastructure, it's all a crisis. But they don't want to call what's happening at the border a crisis. Now, the dictionary definition, dictionary.com, defines a crisis as a condition of instability or danger, as in social, economic, political, or international affairs, leading to a decisive change. That sounds pretty dead on. And speaking of what's happening at the border, DHS whistleblower says border guards are burned out from Biden policies. This was on Fox. They got a unidentified DHS official to talk to them. And I think it was a man. Yeah, unofficial male expressed increasing frustration at the federal government's handling of the situation. People are just very burnt out and there's not a lot of optimism. And it's going to get better anytime soon. I think the policies were implemented irresponsibly, and I think they do not have any sense of realism. Yeah.
You think?
I mean, they probably aren't going to understand what's happening there since they haven't been there, and they have no plans to go there. And that's another part of this that really blows my mind, is that you have these situations where these poor DHS officials, I mean, they're completely overwhelmed. They're trying to, you know, bring in clothes for these kids. Like, Lord knows, they're doing yeoman's work. And then you have memos about the diversity and using the right language. And then the FBI hires a diversity instructor or a diversity czar, whatever you want to call it. And I'm thinking, don't you have bigger fish to fry? Is our priorities not a thing anymore? It's like if your house was burning and you start going, yeah, well, you know, the mailbox really needs to be fixed. It's like the house is burning. Maybe we worry about the mailbox later. So basic. And I really do feel for these guys at the border, because the men and women, because they're overwhelmed, and Joe Biden doesn't care. He does not care one iota. Speaking of Joe Biden, because I know you guys miss him so much, let's play a little bit of good old Joe. Cut one, please, Jared.
New energy efficient homes. Manufacturing workers building nuclear and carbon capture technologies.
I gotta say, the saying it twice, doubling down on manufacturing, is it's a little odd.
Yeah, unless that was a typo, which I doubt. It was a typo on the teleprompter. That's not a stutter when you say it twice.
Oh, no. I always forget about that. Like, you can't criticize any of his verbal gaffes because people go, he had a stutter when he was little. All right. You know, I had a speech impediment when I was younger. But when I say stupid stuff, people still insult me all the time. We have a whole segment on it on Howie's show. John, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Grace?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, that stuff you were, the litany you wrote, you were talking about with Psaki, you said that this is a crisis, political setting.
Yeah.
And you named off, like, is that what she said?
No.
Or did you say that?
No, so Politico told its writers that they can't use the word crisis to describe the southern border, what's happening there. And I was just reading off a litany of things that Politico has described as, you know, crises before. Even though now they don't want to describe what's happening as a crisis, they have described empty retail space as a crisis.
Yeah, that they created, not political, but the administration that's in there now. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of arguments to be made about why any of these things have happened, or, you know, any crisis that comes up. But my point is, it's the destruction of words that scares me. You can't call a spade a spade. I don't even know if that's PC anymore. There's got to be something racist about saying that. But where are we at? Where are we at that you can look at what's happening at the border and not call that a crisis? You've got about 800 kids in plastic pods. And I'm supposed to, what are we supposed to call that? A situation? A challenge?
As long as we're just choosing what words we can say, can I not call that senile puppet in the White House a president?
Ooh, Jared. It's Friday and Jared's throwing heat. John, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Grace. First of all, thanks for doing what you do every day. We really appreciate it. There are other sane people out there. What the big job of Psaki and the Democrats and the media right now is to just lull us into thinking everything's okay. Uncle Joe has been around. He's seen it all, and he's got everything under control. And it's just like the Wizard of Oz saying the great and powerful Oz has everything under control. Pay no attention to man behind the curtain. And we are beginning to pay attention to him. And he doesn't have everything under control, and it's really scary, and more people are finding that out. But you get Jen Psaki out there, and by the way, if you want to imitate Jen, you're going to go up at the end of every sentence. So she's kind of like asking a question to you, so it puts it back on you, because if you don't understand, there's something wrong with you.
Right. No, John, you're absolutely right. And that's a tactic she uses with the reporters, where she'll say, I'm not sure I understand your question. I'm not sure what you're trying to get at. I think you might be a little bit confused. You're not giving enough context. And it's just a way to gaslight people. She's a gaslighter. She's a good one, though. I got to give her that. Thank you so much for the call, John. Great points. By the way, John brings up something I want to talk about in the next segment, which is arguing with a liberal, because I've been thinking about this all day, and I have a few tips for people. We'll be back on the other side, but first, allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. But Jared, what happens when you open those doors and windows?
Oh, all that wonderful tree pollen and grass pollen and mold and any other thing you can think of finds its way into the house, and you start with the scratchy throat, the runny eyes, the runny nose, you know, difficulty breathing, chest tightness. But you can avoid all of that with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. You just plug it into the wall, you turn it on, and what it does is it actually ionizes the air and cleans the air around you. So you're not breathing, you know, filtered air. You're not breathing scented air. You are breathing pure oxygen. Clean air, which is huge for somebody who has allergies.
Exactly. And the thunderstorm is a small device. Actually, I have it right here. That's how small it is. I just keep it right here so I can show you guys on the YouTube stream. You can plug it into your car by USB cable to purify the air and or any outlet you have in your house. Just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. I love free shipping. That's my favorite thing. I can be convinced into buying a lot of things if they say free shipping, but this is actually one product that you should get either way. But if you get it right now, that doesn't hurt. Getting it sent to you for free. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put code word GRACE at checkout. One more time, because I know I go very fast. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. We'll be back on the other side with a few more of your calls. And I want to talk about going head-to-head with a moon bat. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
This hour of The Grace Curley Show is brought to you by the Howie Carr VIP Studio Experience. Tickets are available now with experiences beginning in May. To order, go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the VIP tab.
Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Aviva Trattoria did it again. Oh, my gosh. I just had some of the Eggplant Club. It's my new go-to now, Jared. It's so good. Thank you so much to everyone from Aviva for bringing that in. I promised you guys a little rant here, but I'm considering saving it because I really want to be able to open it up to the callers. We do have a guest at 105. So instead, for this quick segment, I'm going to play some sound. I got a little taste of manufacturing in the last segment, and I think we need some more. Jared, could we please play cut two?
And people working in the fields that we haven't even conceived of yet, on farms and on factories. And
cut three, please.
With United Arab Emirates.
Ooh, to be fair, that is a tricky one, but still. And cut four, please. Probably my favorite cut of all.
Mr. President, what do you think about the Brazilian president's speech yesterday?
He gets shooed out by his handlers, and you know what is so
funny? Thank you, press.
Jared, I miss my calling. I should have been one of those girls. I would be so good at it. And I'm not braggadocio. I wouldn't be good at a lot of things. But if you put me in the White House and you said, Grace, your job is to get out the press when Joe Biden's done, I would be in there like this. Thank you. Thank you. Please move along, Peter Ducey. Please keep moving. Thank you, sir. Keep moving. Bye. I'm telling you, I miss my calling. Did you see that Biden was on a video call to discuss to discuss climate change? And he was the only one. There's at least 10 world leaders. And he's the only one with a mask on. And he's standing by himself.
Even Trudeau didn't have a mask on in this picture.
I don't get it. I do get it to an extent. It's theater. But I'm starting to get to the point now where I'm so irate over these masks that I'm afraid I'm going to have one of those breakdowns where someone films me in a store, you know, like crazy Karen refuses to wear her mask type deal. That's my only fear. If I didn't think people were going to videotape me, I probably would go into stores without a mask on. But I know I'm going to run into that one person who's like, you know, got the phone next to them. Ugh. Guys, when we get back on the other side, we have Paris Denard calling in to talk about this Tim Scott hit piece from the Washington Post. And so much more. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.